Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. This last week in staff, it was mentioned that coming week is Thanksgiving, and was I going to do a Thanksgiving message? And because I keep putting on the bottom of the outline next week, starting expository study in 2 Peter. This is the third time that has appeared there, and the third time it's going to be delayed one more week. And because this is really an important day today, this particular Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. It was in 2005 that Luann and I and Josh moved from Midland back down to Flint and into Mom's house as we tried to discern what God had for us. We had been used to build a ministry in Midland from 70 to 325 over a course of 5 years, 6 years, but had the sense that God was telling us it's time to move on. And before even having a ministry, I spoke to the elders, and I just had shared that God said it's time to move on, and you need to start looking. And they were looking, and you know, it was a great testimony of the church, because I wasn't leaving to go to another church. I was following God's plan, not knowing what that was. And I had to walk by faith and not by sight. But it wasn't until the beginning of 2006 when I heard a message at Solid Rock about the spiritual condition of Genesee County. And I thought, God, might that be your plan? Do you want to use people like us, you know, with very strange minds to plant a church in Flint, Burton, that might be able to reach people? And so I contacted Randy Penwell. He was the director of New Churches of Christ Evangelism. And he had contacted me several years ago with the idea of planting a church. And I go, oh, no, I don't think so. We were on the rise going up. You know, I was enjoying that. I thought, this is my church until I die. And so I'm now in this position. I said, Randy, we've been praying. I think God wants me to plant a church in Burton. Burton? Sorry to even say that word without even smiling. And so I made a presentation to New Churches of Christ Evangelism Board, and they sent Luann and I down to a church planter's assessment center where they identified 13 characteristics of a church planter that you really need to have possibility of success and to invest that money. We were the oldest couple there. No other gray-haired people there that was hanging around, all these Gen X's. And but we passed that, and so we began to plan for the start of this new church, and we looked at Vern Van Wy Elementary and thought that would be a great location. It's off from Center Road. Vern Van Wy was the grandfather of Tim and Laura Van Wy, who served you communion this morning, and knew the man growing up as a kid. He was my uncle's father, and great man. I thought, what a kind of a cool connection with family to start this church there. And so in that summer, we got an office in Maple Road, began to talk and plan. And by September, I knew that I needed someone to come alongside and partner with us. And so I sent out an ad in churchstaffing.com for a person who wanted to get involved in a new work. And the first person to reply was this guy named Roland Drummond from the land of Linden. And we sat down for lunch, and there was an immediate connection with Roland. That's Jesse, by the way. You know Jesse up there? Wow. And so I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And I kept looking, getting resumes in and putting resumes to the side. And there was a family in Tennessee that looked like a good potential. So we invited them up for a weekend, and we paved their way and put them up in a hotel. And so the Drummonds and Billings and ourselves got together, and we began to talk. And I began to cast the vision, what God had put upon my heart. And I thought, well, hey, we're all here. Let's just have church tomorrow. And so I contacted my mom and my brother-in-law, F.W., who had done a lot of work on the renovations. And so on that Sunday before Thanksgiving, we had the first service of grace, November 19th, 2006. And we've been meeting ever since. We would arrange our seats in the living room. It was a high ceiling. We put an overhead. We broadcast and put the broadcast. We projected the slides up onto the wall, and you have the cold section up front, and you had the fireplace section in the back, which is where Lori Drummond always was, and we began to meet there. So this day, 7 years, Sundays before Thanksgiving, is an important event. Our songs, the way we do our service is virtually the same as it was that day, including hospitality. Today I want to share with you the same scripture that I used on that first Sunday. In the same outline that I gave, and the title was When the Main Thing is to Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing. And just what that looks like 7 years later. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for this time. We thank you again for the opportunity that we have to gather here in this place to worship you, to fellowship with one another, the church, celebrating, Father, what you have done in 7 years, and to encourage us for the years to go forward. And as we now, as we look into your word, may we see the truths that are there, although lived hundreds of years ago, still practical and applies to today. So, Father, your time, we ask for your blessing. In Christ's name, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, and chapter 41. We're looking at the life of Joseph, one of the favorite stories of mine. You know, the Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, the musical, loosely based upon that. You saw it? I've never seen that, but I guess it's pretty spectacular. But Joseph, the favorite son of his father, Israel, didn't go well with his brothers because he kind of kept telling them how he was, they're all going to bow down to him, they're all going to do these things, and they're going to, you know, in a sense, kind of put him in higher than any of the other brothers. And so they put him in a hole, then they sold him to slavery. He ended up in Egypt. And in Egypt, he was a part of a house in which he was put in charge, and God was giving him favor, and as God directed his life, and this man who he was managing his estate, his wife said, "Hey, come on, let's have some love in the afternoon," you know, and thought Joseph was a good-looking guy, and Joseph didn't want any part of that, no temptation whatsoever, and even left with her holding the towel that he had, you know, and he was accused wrongly of defiling this woman and thrown in jail. And while in jail, he began to just continue to trust God. He never asked, "Why is this happening to me, oh Lord? You know, why am I in jail, this innocent guy?" I mean, he's not had it very well. But God had given him an ability to interpret dreams. And in jail, he had interpreted two other people who served in the king's court. One was a good result, one not a good ending. And the one that was restored back into the king's service said, I will remember you." And he didn't. And so he's left in jail. And Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh was disturbed by this dream, and none of the other sorcerers could interpret this dream. And so the baker remembered, or the servant to the Pharaoh remembered Joseph and brought him into the Pharaoh's presence. That's where we kind of picked up now in verse 1 of chapter 41. Oh, I got one page over. So now, it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. And lo, from the Nile there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed on the marsh grass. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke. Now that would have disturbed me right then and there, I think. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of grain came up on a single stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 ears thin and scorched by the east wind sprouted up after them, and the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Then the Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. In the morning, his spirit was troubled, so he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt, all the wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I would make mention today of my own offenses. Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had a dream on the same night, and he and I, and each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream, and just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me in my office, but he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I've had heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Even in this time, when Joseph was before Pharaoh, he never sought to exalt himself. He first deflected to God. So much in our lives, when we talk to people, we tend to put ourselves in the first position rather than deflecting God. God says in this that we should do this, or putting God in the forefront. You know that when the main thing is keep the main thing, the main thing, the main thing capitalized is God. Our main thing is keep God the main thing in everything that we do. And that's exactly what Joseph was doing. Go to verse 25. Now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and this 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven thin ears scorched by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt, and after them 7 years of famine will come. And all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. Now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take to action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Joseph not only interpreted the dream that was going to take place, he wasn't speaking alarmedly like, there's nothing you're going to do, you got 7 years, and man, the bad's going to come. God also gave him the vision for a dream, a vision for what could happen in that dream to sustain and to live through those next 7 years. And in that, Pharaoh listened and acted upon that. He put Joseph in charge of what was going on. Go to verse 46. Hold on. My notes. Yep, okay. Verse 46. Oh, boy. One cup of coffee did not do it for me today. Now, Joseph was, I have no excuses, was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land. He was put in charge. Pharaoh said, you got the idea. I think you're the best one for this job. And during the 7 years of plenty, the land brought forth abundantly. So he gathered all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt, and placed the food in the cities. He placed in every city the food from his own surrounding fields. Thus Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure. Not only did God put upon Pharaoh's mind and heart to put Joseph in charge, the plan that Joseph had took great advantage of the abundant years that were occurring, so that what was being stored up and prepared was beyond being able to keep track of anymore. Storehouse upon storehouse was built and gathered for all that time. Moving on to verse 53. It says, when the 7 years of plenty which had been in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, just as Joseph had said, then there was famine in all the lands. But in the land of Egypt, there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, you shall do. When the famine was spread over all the face of the earth, then Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. The people of all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the earth. Not only did God bless this servant who was unjustly imprisoned but restored to a time before Pharaoh and then exalted to only second in the land, only second to Pharaoh, and gave him a plan. Not only was that plan successful, but not only for Egypt, but for all the earth. People in all that surrounding area was coming to Egypt. Now, they didn't have the super trains to get there in one day. Some had to travel far distances to get there, but the famine was severe. There was nothing in their own lands. Even in Canaan, even in the land where his father and his brothers were. That's an important story, I think, for viewing the church, for how we see ourselves in God's plan. Putting God first allows us to be in a position to hear God and direct us in what he wants to do. 7 years ago, I gave 5 challenges for this new church that was beginning. A new focus, a new heart, and if we would follow this example, I think God would give favorable success. And this was the first one. We will not be gripped by fear and intimidation. It's an intimidating thing to plant a church in bad economic times. In times in a city, a union town that's very skeptical. In fact, when we were meeting at Van Wy Elementary, it was tough. The first Sunday that we launched in Easter of the next year in 2007, we met and began to grow and work out all the details of setting up and tearing down each week and the sound system and the drapery and the all the colors that we put up and to transform this place. And we sent out 25,000 postcards 3 times before Easter Sunday of 2007, and then one follow-up 25,000 card mailing afterwards. And church planters' statistics say that generally 1% of that will come of your mailing. 25,000 cards, do the math. What's 250 people, right? I love easy math. Yep. You know, not 13.78%. No, just 1%. So we set up 250 chairs. 52 people showed up. 25,000 postcards go out the next week, and for the second week, we had 19 people. You know, big rush for Easter, rather, but then kind of tapers off. There were times in those first couple of years that things were difficult. In fact, we got down to 9 people. And I remember meeting with now Steve Larson, who was Randy Penwell had gone on to a ministry in Tennessee, and Randy and Steve Larson had taken over as director, and I was having lunch with him in Fenton at the, because it was kind of like halfway to where he lived and I lived. And he said, you know, what are you going to do? I said, Steve, God has not given me the release to stop. I haven't gotten my discharge paper, so I've got to press on, you know. And I remember telling people, I'm going to be here next week. I hope you are too. And there could have been fear, there could have been intimidation as far as viewing the world's view of success, but who's at the helm? God. God had given the vision, God had given the orders in charge for us to do this, and God hadn't said not to stop yet. Same way today, people. We can have fear and intimidation because being a Christian is not necessarily a popular and accepted thing. In fact, there's a whole switch in our culture that we're seen as being less than tolerant. Even in our military, it's you cannot express your faith as profoundly and openly as you once could. You are to keep it to yourself. There's things that the enemy is trying to press down our faith, but we do not need to have fear, and we cannot be intimidated, because it's God who's at the helm of our lives. 7 years ago, today, and going forward. Secondly, I challenge those 15 people, we will not allow our pride and ego to get in the way. That was important because Joseph, even in his humility, in this dungeon, this prison, and being sequestered there, when he was called to Pharaoh, he didn't say, no, I'm not coming. Let him come here. I'll interpret it. Let him see where I'm living, you know. No, they got him out. They shaved him, put on clean clothes. They made him presentable and then brought him to Pharaoh. You know, there's a humility that goes on to understand the position you're in and to follow through with that. He wasn't stubborn. He wasn't obstinate. He didn't speak anything for himself. He went and he served. We can let pride and ego get in our way as well. If we're not asked to do something that we think we should be asked to do, if we're not doing something that we should be doing because we think that we're too good for that. Your pastors have cleaned toilets, emptied trash more than once, done whatever we can do, because we can't let our pride and our ego get away from what God has given the vision to do. You know, I think it's amazing if you think about just the people that are here this morning. You know, we're more than what we were 7 years ago. And it goes up, it goes down, up and down. But think if everyone here just invited one person next week and came back. You know, we'd be opening up the doors to put more chairs in the hallway. If we have the answer for eternal life, if we have the answer for how to get sins off our back and to be forgiven, isn't that something that should be a part of our speech as well? Joseph gave God the glory in God's answer. God is still the answer, people, for everything that goes on in our lives. I'm not sure why we let these things of our own personal get in the way of sharing our faith, if it is the saving faith that we know that it is. Thirdly, I challenge us that we will be generous but wise with our time. I said that because I remember talking to one of the families, and the wife said that, you know, every time the church doors are open, I need to be there. I said, well, that's not healthy. I said, you know, because in fact, Jay Collins and I were talking, they came from a church in California, they had something every night going on. If you were there every day, then you may not be doing what you need to be doing. You're probably neglecting other things. We have to be wise. We can be generous, but also wise with our time. If I'm at every event that the church has, there's chances I'm going to be neglecting my wife and my family and things they need to do. We cannot be thinking that that is what everyone should be doing every time we get together. Just as we shouldn't go the other way and just maybe show up once a Sunday a month. That's enough. That's all they can handle. They can't handle me any more than that once a month. Now, I think we need to be wise with our time. This is the time where we gather together and we're built up as the body of Christ. This is the church. This is where one of the ways, the important ways where we get strength from one another. We have to be wise with that, because, in fact, I talked with someone on the phone this morning. I answered the phone, and it was a gentleman who really doesn't come to this church, but says he calls to tell that he's not going to be there this morning. I'm not really sure why he does that. But then he began to tell me because he can't go to church because then he'll miss the kickoff of the Lions football game. You know, that is me and his friend. Now, we may chuckle at that, but I said, well, we all have to have our priorities, you know. But to some, that's very serious. Some haven't realized that DVR was invented by God so that we could go to church and catch up and miss by all those commercials and stuff. Our time is very important. It's a part of good stewardship, as well as our finances, our giving of what we do and helping out. People, we need wisdom in the church. We need wisdom so we know that we're we're doing what God has called us to do. You know, the small thing is like the raking ministry. You know, Clarence is doing a wonderful job with that and helping out. I will be at some, but I cannot be at all. Because my time, there are things I need to do for my family to make sure that they are being taken care of as well. Fourthly, we will not limit God with a poverty mindset. There is nowhere in Scripture that we are called to poverty. Some people are poor. That's just part of the reality of economics. But the Bible says also, blessed are the poor too. So it's a state that they're in that they're not looked upon as being less than. But here's what I was doing with that. We will not be hoarding for a rainy day. I believe God gifts us through the generosity of tithes and offerings. By the way, an offering is more above the tithe, you know, and that our responsibility is to make sure the body is taken care of. There are so many more things that are done with our tithes and offerings than just heating, cooling, lights, building. We have helped with rent. We've helped with utilities, people's utilities, with car payments, with insurance, with things that are practical that people need. I will tell you this. That's within the body, though, of Christ. We cannot help the community at large, but we have never turned away in 7 years someone who has asked for something. At least I'm not aware of that. And sometimes that giving is much more than what they've ever given in a year or more. That wasn't the point. The point was we will not have a poverty mindset thinking that we can't do that because we don't know what's coming around the corner. We don't need to know because we know God is in charge of the church. And I when people say, wow, thank you for that, I people have had tears. I said, it's not me, it's God. Then give God the glory. Because it's within his spirit, following what he tells us to do, he says, don't hold back. You see, when you have that mentality of Malachi chapter 3, and you have that mentality that God's in charge, he says, do this, be faithful in this, and I'll open up the floodgates. We've never missed a mortgage payment. We've never missed a electricity payment. You know, we are not a rich church, but we are a bountiful church that can help in ways. We have to have that mindset as people, too. In 7 years, that's a powerful testimony of what God has done. Now, please don't stop paying your mortgage just to come and say, you know, I really would. I got this new car. I got this Mercedes-Benz. I just can't afford this house payment. Can you help me out? No one would do that, I know. Would you? No, you wouldn't do that. But the fifth one, I think, is probably the most important one. We will never lack for vision. When the main thing is to keep the main thing, we will never lack for vision. God will always entrust us with his vision to see what he will do through us, in us and through us for his good pleasure. You know, I'll tell you, we have prayed for a long time for percussion, for drums. It's electronic. You can control the volume. Aaron, you could pound up there all day long if there's no power to it. What are we going to hear?
Not a whole lot.
Thump, 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 thump. But I tell you, you get on those earphones, man, you're rocking to heaven. We have a piano, but no piano player. You know, it's not just there for beauty. It's really because we don't want to move it anymore because it's so heavy. No, we pray for musicians. You know, because I love worship, and worship is a glory to God, and it's a powerful tool to just lift the spirit up. Man, you can walk in here beat up, but if you start worshiping God and you get into that heavenly mindset, that all just falls away. We'll never lack for vision. We had a vision 7 years given to us by God to plant a church that would be real, that would be authentic, that you can come as you are, you'd be welcome at Grace. Pastor doesn't have to wear a tie. I joke that if I'm wearing a tie, I'm either doing your funeral or you're getting married. In fact, I shocked, I think, the women on one Mother's Day. I wore a tie. I changed after worship just to, I like to shake things up. Vision is so cool because when you see your life as a believer in Christ as an adventure, then it's through his eyes that you see everything. Nothing then weighs upon your shoulders because it's all on God's, and you're just like, you know the never-ending story? Is that that one with the big white dog that flies? Falcor, yeah. Whatever. Big dog flies. That's what we are. We're on that trip that just like it just amazes you. But in ours, it's real. It's not make-believe. People, I believe in that. I believe in that what we started 7 years ago by God. And I believe in it for today, and I believe it for next Sunday and going forward. And my heart is that you believe it too. That the 7 years hasn't nullified anything that we cast that vision with or that encouragement with 7 years ago. And moving into the next 7 years, I just pray you grab somebody with you. You know, I'm not in so much concern as church growth as I am in kingdom building. Building up the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, because there's people that need to know that they don't have any of these things, and they certainly don't have vision. They can't see how they're going to survive the next week, more or less even the next day. God has created grace for a purpose that is greater than you and I. And it will be that as we continue to keep the main thing, the main thing, the main thing. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you have remain true to your vision, true to your encouragement, true to what you had in store and in mind when you started this 7 years ago. Father, the number of completion, but we know that the story is not over. We press on. We press on for greater things that you wish to do through us, that you in us can do more than we can ever imagine. May we see life from your perspective and our participation in it. And may you bless us and encourage us, guard us. And to you, the glory goes forever and ever. Amen.
Every soul we long to be, every heart we ought to be, everywhere we share his peace is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to grace is only by his grace. Praise the Lord, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone.
Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us to rely on your strength. Remind us of all the good things you've given.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.
Church. here today. We worship.